This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11 o'clock. Coming up next, Stage and Studio presents a documentary special on Portland urban naturalist Mike Hauk. At 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Galavan interviews photographer Holly Andrus about her show The Homecoming and about shooting the Sasquatch Festival for Teen Vogue and her love of Instagram. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Merrill Hurst University, an institution dedicated to serving adult students by bringing a progressive perspective to educating the whole person. Listeners can learn about 23 bachelor's degree programs in the arts, business, and helping professions at the information session on Saturday, August 24th at 9 a.m. Details at merrillhurst.edu. And by the Clinton Street Theater, featuring independent and revival films, the Rocky Horror Picture Show every Saturday at midnight, as well as the monthly KBOO Movie Night. The Clinton Street Theater is located at the corner of Southeast Clinton and 26th in Portland. Schedule and information at 503-238-5588 or cstpdx.com.
Humankind is produced in association with WGBH Boston and supported by the Humankind Program Fund. Additional funding for this series has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Institutes of Health, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and the Park Foundation.
It is possible to be good enough stewards of the land that we can meet our own needs as well as the needs of other creatures. And that is the driving philosophy that I have with respect to how we build cities.
Preserving and restoring urban green spaces and waterways to make our cities a more livable environment. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freud.
Tranquility of rural landscapes or the
creatures. And that is the, I think, the driving philosophy that I have with respect to how we build cities.
Preserving and restoring urban green spaces and waterways to make our cities a more livable environment. You're listening to...
We're joining this program in process. It is a documentary special on Portland urban naturalist Mike Hauk.
Detailed analysis of the nexus between proximity to parks and the natural areas.
I'm sorry about these technical difficulties. We're still working on this. Back to the music. Fred Frith.
Thank you.
Humankind is produced in association with WGBH Boston and supported by the Humankind Program Fund. Additional funding for this series has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the National Institutes of Health, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and the Park Foundation.
It is possible to be good enough stewards of the land that we can meet our own needs as well as the needs of other creatures. And that is the, I think, the driving philosophy that I have with respect to how we build cities.
Preserving and restoring urban green spaces and waterways to make our cities a more livable environment. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg. People who live in or near cities often yearn for an escape to nature, to glory in the tranquility of rural landscapes, or the mystery of seascapes, or the breathtaking majesty of mountains. Conservationists remind us how important it is to leave these wilderness resources unspoiled for enjoyment now and by future generations. And Oregon-based naturalist Mike Houck couldn't agree more. But he offers this reminder to people who reside in cities and towns. Don't overlook the abundance of nature available right where you live.
People call me all the time at home, at Audubon. They send me emails, Mike, I just saw a heron, you know, land in my backyard. Or I'm watching a bald eagle building its nest in Selwood Park. People get incredibly excited, I think because it is such a surprise. It's so, in their mind, so unlikely an occurrence.
Donning the title of urban naturalist at the Audubon Society of Portland, Mike Houck founded the Urban Green Spaces Institute, headquartered at Portland State University. It promotes what he calls urban green infrastructure, an integration of the built environment with the parks, trails, streams, and wetlands found in metropolitan areas. Mike took me here to the Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge, located at the intersection of Southeast 7th Avenue and Selwood Boulevard in central Portland. It's a large floodplain wetland that draws birdwatchers like Mike Houck, who meander the trails and set up their scopes, hoping to spot hawks, quail, mallards, and especially the official bird of Portland, the great blue heron.
That's exactly what I see. You come out, and what have we seen? Four osprey going through courtship. Here's a red-tailed hawk hovering 15 feet over our head, being attacked by a crow. Clearly, the red-tail was going after some kind of prey. Oop, crow just hit him. Now, if this happened somewhere in eastern Oregon, I don't know, it would be cool. But here we are, literally in downtown Portland. Right over our heads, 15 feet.
So beautiful to watch the red-tailed hawk hovering almost perfectly still,
yeah.
15 feet above us.
Kiting, beautiful. That's why it's so exciting to have access to nature in the city.
The soundscape of an urban green space often blends the chirping of birds with vehicle or machine noises in the background. And for Mike Houck, people who live around cities are experiencing both wildlife and the man-made environment.
Oaks Bottom, this view from Oaks Bottom, epitomizes what I've been talking about. You couldn't ask for any better illustration of nature in the city. You've got the downtown skyline literally a quarter mile away, half mile away, Ross Island in the middle of the Willamette River, and a wetland right in front of you, all, you know, sitting on the Willamette River in the heart of the city. This is exactly what we're talking about, trying to integrate the built environment and the natural environment.
Could you just give us the measurement of how big this waterway is?
It's a 160-acre wetland. Much of it was filled. In fact, the north end was filled with rubble from one of the local freeways, and there was a landfill that actually was on fire in the late 70s. you know, which is classic. What's a wetland for? Well, of course, it's for putting landfills and so forth in. So a combination of a small amount of upland habitat where it was formerly filled, open water habitat, which of course attracts a huge number of waterfowl during the winter months, and then a lot of wonderful riparian or riverside habitat. And again, you know, we're looking out across this open water through a cottonwood, black cottonwood ash forest to the downtown skyline.
Mike Houck has been a pioneering voice in the quest to preserve natural areas in cities. An outdoorsman with dark hair and a white beard, he's known for wearing Hawaiian shirts and a pair of binoculars hanging from his neck. It was back in 1980 when he founded the Urban Naturalist Program at the Audubon Society.
Well, I was told it was an oxymoron. In fact, there were some conservation organizations that expressed dismay that we would, quote, waste valuable resources, limited resources, working on protecting and restoring natural areas, fish and wildlife habitat in the city, which they consider to be basically devoid of wildlife, basically to be a biological, ecological desert, and that the money would be better spent in more pristine areas.
Did they view cities as an ecological lost cause?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That attitude, fortunately, has changed over the last 25 years or so. And in fact, when I started the Urban Green Spaces Institute, I adopted as the motto, just to make the point, in livable cities is preservation of the wild. And the reason that I did that was not to put a thumb in the eye of those who work on wilderness issues, because that's how I got my start. And I think we need to do both. We need to be looking at protecting more pristine areas in the non-urban environment, in the rural environment, as well as, more degraded but still very important ecologically from a biodiversity perspective, natural areas, fish and wildlife habitat in the city. And I adopted that motto because the Sierra Club's moniker, of course, is "In wildness is preservation of the world," which is Henry David Thoreau's famous aphorism. And that aphorism has led the conservation community to focus almost all of its resources exclusively on the rural landscape, on the pristine, more pristine landscape. So the point I wanted to make was, no, in order to protect natural areas out there in the hinterlands, in the rural hinterlands, we must create cities that people positively love and want to live in and think of in a very positive light.
Is that so that everybody doesn't move out to the country and overdevelop it?
Oh, absolutely. The American dream is 1-5 acre plots of earth somewhere out there from which they commute to their jobs, which is the worst possible scenario for future development of North America. So it wasn't to say that we shouldn't be working on conserving these larger, more pristine areas. It was to say people want access to nature in their immediate radius of reach. They don't want to, in my opinion, and all the polling that we've done in the Portland region at least, and I think this is consistent throughout the country. If you go to the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, to the Boston, to Chicago, the Chicago Wilderness Program, the East Bay Regional Park District, and the San Francisco Bay Area are all about providing access to nature where people live. Not to say we don't want people to have access somewhere out there in the hinterlands, but people should be able to get on their bikes or walk within 15 minutes to a natural area from their house. So that's the philosophy.
You shouldn't have to take a vacation to a distant locale in order to be able to relax and unwind in nature.
Exactly. You should be able to do that on an everyday basis. It shouldn't be some special opportunity that you do maybe 2 or 3 times a year. It should be every day.
Why is it important for people to have easy access to nature?
There are many reasons. I would say the most provocative one that I've heard of, a friend of mine, Robert Michael Pyle, Bob Pyle, you may know his work. He writes for Orion magazine a lot. He asks a very provocative question. What is the extinction of the condor to a child who has never known a wren? And that speaks very directly and gets right to the heart, in my opinion, of why I believe access to nature for children of all ages, whether they be 6 or 60, having that everyday contact with nature, I think, influences how we think about our relationship, about humankind's relationship to nature. So in my personal opinion, is the single most important reason. There are many other more, I would say, pragmatic, practical reasons. For example, having natural areas near a house increases its property value. There's a professor at Reed College who's done a very detailed analysis of the nexus between proximity to parks and to natural areas for the house prices in the city of Portland. And interestingly, what she found was while being immediately adjacent to a park increased the property value pretty significantly on that house, the park type that held its value up to a mile away was a natural area. So you could be next to a golf course, but if you got more than, say, 200 meters away from a golf course, that impact dropped off very rapidly, but a natural area held its held that increase over a longer distance. So there are all kinds of reasons.
Why do you think it is that people so appreciate and are willing to pay more for proximity to green spaces? Why is that considered so desirable?
Well, I believe firmly that people love having, I don't like the term open space, but most people use it, open space in their immediate vicinity, whether it be for a quiet contemplation, a place to, quote, escape the city, to be able to go to, for example, in our case, we have 5,000-acre Forest Park or 160-acre Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge. When you're in one of these natural areas, even though you may be able to hear the city in the background, I think most people can tune that out and tune into the natural area that they happen to be in, or the park, for that matter. And Olmsted, Frederick Law Olmsted Sr., expressed this, I think, vividly in his description for why he felt Central Park that he was designing was so important. Of course, back then, his primary reason was to provide people of lesser means. It was very much a social justice question in his mind when he designed Central Park and a lot of other parks, making sure that poor people who didn't have access to the means to get in their carriage and go somewhere out there, having a better environment for cleaner air, for example, and just having the ability to get away from the everyday toil that, of course, was prevalent in American cities at that time, at the turn of the century.
We're talking with urban naturalist Mike Houck from Portland, Oregon. For more information, check our website, humanmedia.org. You're listening to Humankind. I'm David Freudberg.
Oaks Bottom Wildlife Refuge has a huge number of fish that become impounded, and it's a great feeding area for both the bald eagles and the osprey. So the number of osprey and the presence of bald eagles are a function of, number one, the right kind of nesting habitat. That's crucial. And, of course, feeding habitat. My guess is the fact that this 160-acre wetland is here is, I would say, very much a factor in their having selected this as a nesting site.
You've been listening to a program called The Urban Naturalist. It is available through the Humankind website. Go to humanmedia.org and search on Mike Houck. His last name is spelled H-O-U-C-K. This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland Saturday Market, where shopping is an art, celebrating 40 years of American arts and crafts, freshly prepared foods with an international flavor, and local music every Saturday and Sunday from March 3rd through Christmas Eve in Waterfront Park. Local artisans, international food, live music, PortlandSaturdayMarket.com, and by Oregon College of Art and Crafts Studio School, offering classes and workshops for adults in book arts, ceramics, drawing and painting, fibers, metals, photography, and wood. www.ocac.edu/register. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 11:31. Up next, it's Art Focus with host Joseph Gallivan.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
I'm Joseph Gallivan, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. This week, our guest is Holly Andres. Holly is a photographer who produces dramatic scenes of domestic family life. Welcome, Holly. It's lovely to have you here at KABU.
It's lovely to be here, Joseph.